how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life, what more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Jesus to Calvary did go. His love for sinners to show. What he did there brought hope from despair. And oh, how he loves you. And oh, how he loves me. And oh, how he loves you and me.
And we testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Good evening. I've always admired and loved Taizé, and just what a beautiful, just spiritual experience it is. However, my wife will shake her head later at what a terrible pun this will be, but I'm going to lighten the mood a little bit. A couple months ago, I was walking out of work, and I saw a very distraught young lady weeping beside her car. I stopped to ask her and if she needed help. She replied, "I knew I should have changed the batteries to this thing. I can't get in my car. Do you think they have batteries over there that would fit this?" She was pointing at a gas station that was about a quarter mile away from where we were, but still within sight. "I don't know," I said to her. "Does her car have an alarm too?" "No, just this remote thingy," and she handed me her keys. As I walked over to her door and manually unlocked it, I said to her, "You might want to drive over there to ask them about the batteries. It's a little cold to walk." I opened her door, and her interior light lit up the darkness around us, and I could see her face illuminated with realization. She could have been in her car the whole time. I could tell this young lady was deeply embarrassed, but should she have been? We've all been there before in need of help. Unfortunately, in our society today, there's a stigma attached to admitting that you need help. We don't want to appear dull, defeated, depressed, or dumb. If you didn't notice, those were all D words, by the way, or words that start with D. And I don't know why I use the letter D, but I didn't want to ask a thesaurus or dictionary for help with words that start with any other letter. But should people feel any of those things when they ask for help? No. Proverbs 11:14 tells us, "Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety." A great thinker of my time, Jessica Simpson, came up with her own proverb when she said, "I think there's a difference between dumb and ditzy. Dumb is just not knowing, and ditzy is having the courage to ask." Good for Jessica for having that courage. She once made millions of dollars being on TV asking her then husband if buffalo wings came from actual buffalo. People made fun of her for it. She made millions of dollars. Unfortunately for the rest of us, we don't get that deal. When we ask for help, we feel as though we're revealing the most vulnerable pieces of ourselves. And when people make fun of us for it, we don't have millions of dollars to wipe our tears with. Instead, we retreat further into our shell, where we think it's safe. Again, Proverbs warns us of this in 12:15, when it says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." Additionally, there's a couple problems with retreating into a shell. It's dark inside, and you're the only one in there. Simply put, no good can come from hiding. When we hide, we don't get answers when we call for help. We get more questions. There's a Zen proverb that says, "Man stands in his own shadow and wonders why it's dark." I say, when you move towards a light in the world, you leave your shadow and the darkness behind you. Now, aside from being a blinding annoyance when you don't want to get out of bed to go to work in the morning, can you think of many negative connotations for the word light? It's been used to describe heaven, intelligence, comfort, love, courage, hope. When we ask for help, we are searching for the light to the path out of our pain, our anger, our fear, our confusion, our hell. Hell. You may be wondering how I got to hell, talking about a story where a girl was embarrassed to ask for help because she couldn't get in her car. We got there because aside from encouraging you to not be afraid to ask for help, to avoid the darkness and to seek the light, I wanted you to know that you could be that light for someone else. One random act of kindness or a few words of encouragement could completely change someone's outlook on life. This is a duty that God called us to in Matthew 5:14 through 16, where it tells us, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others." You may have heard of a story of two young men walking separately home from school one day. One of the boys, Kyle, was carrying a large stack of books and was tripped by some bullies, knocking over all the books. The other boy, Mark, was on the other side of the street and saw this happen, and he hurried over to help Kyle pick up the books. And as they were picking him up, he said to him, "Man, you must have a lot of homework to be carrying all these books home." And all Kyle did was murmur back in response, "Yeah," something like that. The two of them continued walking home. They started talking and laughing a little bit. They became friends. Later on, best friends and two of the most popular kids in school. Fast forward to graduation day. Kyle earns valedictorian honors. And it's in his valedictorian speech where he reveals his one random act of kindness that saved his life. It was on a Friday. He was walking home from school, carrying all his books, because he planned on committing suicide. And he cleaned out his locker because he didn't want his mom to have to do it the following Monday. But it was one random act of kindness that saved his life when Mark did what he didn't have to do when he crossed the street to pick up the books. Kyle saw a light in the darkness of his life. Now, I also recall a story in my life when I worked as a pizza delivery guy when I was 18. One night, I was the lucky one to draw an unfavorable repeat customer known for being crass and not tipping well. Sure, you know how that goes over with an 18-year-old. But being a firm believer in killing them with kindness, I smiled big and was courteous as possible, and all I got back was a stoic look and one or two word answers. Pizza and money exchange, I headed back to my car relieved that was all over. My relief quickly turned to horror when I looked in my car and saw my keys in the ignition of my locked car. This was 18 years ago, and I didn't have a cell phone back then. That meant I had to go back to the door of this customer, now inside with his hot dinner, and ask him to use the phone. I sensed some reluctance, but he agreed and let me call my dad, who was thankfully not too far away with my spare keys. I thanked the customer for letting me use the phone, and then I complimented him on his home and an intricate display of what appeared to be autographed baseballs on a nearby shelf. That compliment was the proverbial wrecking ball to this man's wall of seclusion that he had been living behind, as his face lit up with excitement. He scurried over to grab his three favorite baseballs and brought them over and began telling me sports stories. And I began telling him stories. Next thing you knew, we were laughing. We were having such a good time. My dad startled us when he knocked on the door. I thanked the man for letting me use the phone, and I thanked him for the conversation. When he replied back to me, nearly in tears, "No, thank you. And I'm sorry if I'm rude sometimes. But ever since my wife passed, I'm lonely, and I don't know how to talk to people anymore." "I'm kind of glad you locked your keys in the car," he told me. That made one of us. However, for the next year, this man requested me for most deliveries and always tipped me well and was always friendly, no matter how long it took me to get there. My brothers and sisters, if there's anything in this world I'm sure we can all agree on, it's that life can be hard. Every one of us struggles at one time or another. Often what pulls us through those times of struggle are the people around us. We are commissioned in Acts 13:47, where it is said, "For so the Lord has commanded us, I have placed you as a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the end of the earth." I'm here to tell you that when it's you thinking that you don't have the keys to get to where you need, you can still find light in a dark situation. You just have to ask for help. And sometimes, when you help someone else, you are that light God created us to be. Leo Tolstoy once said, "Just as one candle can light another candle and light thousands of other candles, so can one heart illuminate another heart and illuminate thousands of other hearts." A favorite band of mine called The Used, sorry about the name, has a song with the lyrics that I think fits us perfectly as Christians, and it's what I would like you to all think about as we leave here tonight. It goes, "I think it's going to be all right. I think it's going to be okay. For we are only sparks, but together, burning bright." As Becky mentioned, Christopher is not here for us to do communion, as I know normally happens for Tize. So I was able to come up with a little experiential that I'm pretty excited about. But what makes me more excited about it is that I have people in attendance here that came here to support me, but one in particular has been my light for so many years. Not knowing I needed a light in darkness times. So Mom, if you'd please come up and help me. As you're ready and able, please come up? I'll have something for you, and then she'll have a reminder for you as well.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest, I and my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior all the day.